Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Welcome to another episode of Rewatchability. It's the podcast where we rewatch movies and TV shows from a while ago and see how they hold up today. I'm Jay McNabb, joined as always by
Blaine Waters
and Robert Laronde.
Yes, I pointed to you like I do in the studio, but I'm just pointing to a laptop, so
we both thought you were pointing to us. That got awkward fast.
We are an Entertainment One podcast coming to you to talk about a special movie this week, 1996's Dragonheart, starring Dennis Quaid, a dragon.
Some CG.
Sean Connery in sweatpants doing the voice of that dragon.
Probably recorded it from his bathroom.
Right. I heard a flush at one point.
For a movie called Dragonheart. His heart was not in it. Like, you could tell from the very beginning.
You could tell. He was like, you know, some actors have that.
He only had half a heart.
Yeah. That's kind of like steady easing into retirement where he's, you know, not doing, you know, he's not going to set, but he's still being in movies kind of for a while. So we talked on our mini episode about when we first saw the movie. So if you haven't heard that, go and listen to it. Before we get into the rundown, I do want to thank all of our Patreon donors. Those are the people that contribute a few bucks a month to help keep the show going. And we really appreciate it, especially in these troubled times.
Yeah. There's no more dragons to slay, so it's been tight.
We can't get that gold. So it's nice.
Pig's face purse.
Making jokes because we can't deal with reality.
I'm so scared.
But I think we're going to do a special Patreon thing coming up as like a thank you for, especially the people that, you know, have kept donating. There was like a lag between when the pandemic kind of took us all out with the lockdowns. Mm-hmm. And forced us to figure out a home recording situation because, you know, we didn't have mics. We didn't have the wherewithal to figure it out. We were kind of, you know, scrambling in all walks of life. But we're going to get together now. And a lot of people stuck with us on the Patreon. So as a thank you, I think we're going to try to do like a special bonus episode commentary of like a favorite movie or something that would be fun to watch with everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of my favorite movies of all time is in the Indiana Jones franchise, that third movie there with Sean Connery himself. So I don't know. Maybe we want to do that one.
We'll throw it out to a vote. We'll either do Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade or the Decalogue. Okay, so we all kind of felt iffy about Dragonheart when we first saw it. I was kind of hoping that it would redeem itself, that I would see something in it now as an adult that I didn't see as a kid. So let's go through it. Let's kind of talk about what happened in Dragonheart. Rob, do you want to run it down?
Yeah, so it begins back in the old-timey times England way yonder back, like before the 1980s, like we're talking like way old-timey England. And we see like this knight and he's sword fighting with this other dude. And this is Dennis Quaid and he is Bowen. He's this knight of the old code, very honorable. And his job is to teach the sort of sniveling prince how to sword fight. And he's really serious about this. He wants to teach him to be honorable and to follow the old code and also to be a good sword fighter, I guess, is also in there. But so this guy rides up and says that the peasants are doing an uprising thing. Mm-hmm. And
he explains it a little bit better than Rob in this rundown.
You know, it's a revolt or something, and they're going to go put it down, and they want the prince to watch because it'll be entertaining. It's like Netflix for medieval times.
Yo. Yeah, if only Netflix had like 6 hours of thwarted peasant uprising for us to watch right now.
Yeah. I'd tune in. But Dennis Quaid, Bowen, he's not really all for this. He thinks it's going to be a slaughter. He thinks it's dishonorable, and he urges the prince, whose name is Einan, to be a better king when he takes his father's throne. That mm-hmm. being a king is about helping people and nobility and all of that stuff. But they go and watch this thing anyway, and you know, it seems like this peasant uprising that they're going to quell is working out pretty well.
I mean, one side has swords, right? And the other side has peasants. So that's a no-brainer.
It seems like it should be like a one-sided battle, mm-hmm. but somehow the king gets taken very easily. Like, he gets surrounded by all these villagers. I guess it's difficult for a king because they can move in any direction, but they can only move one space.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Should have had the queen in there.
Or a bishop
would help. It's bad to be the king.
But the king goes down, and so the son, the prince, runs over to his dad, who is dead, and he takes the crown off, and the king comes back alive, and he's like, die!
Because what's going to happen in a second is this young, now king, gets hit into a pillar that has a spike on it.
I think it's a cheese rack. Because there's cheese. It looks like it's smoking on the thing. And I guess all these cheese racks have these deadly spikes.
So he gets spiked in the heart by a cheese rack. God damn it. And
it's the most undignified royal death in history. First to get like taken down by a bunch of smelly peasants.
Yeah. Well, these...
And then... This the like cheese rack.
Royal lion is the worst at fighting I've ever seen. Like they just like charge into some place and all the peasants take them out, and then he gets taken out by a cheese rack. It's pretty pathetic.
Yeah, but he does see this girl. The last thing he sees is this pretty girl, you know, right. Perfectly framed to be very pretty. But Bowen, he loves the prince, and so he rushes in and he carries him back to the castle and he brings him to the queen, and he's like, there's nothing that can be done. But the queen's like, maybe there is.
And that's when she takes him to the pet cemetery.
Close. Now they go to a creepy old cave, and that's where they see, I mean, they don't really see anything, but mm-hmm. they do hear a voice. And at first, they plead with this voice to help this prince that he's dying, but the voice doesn't want to because, you know, he's sure that he'll follow after his father and be a tyrant, and he doesn't want that. So, but the queen promises to raise him in his ways, and also the knight vouches for him, and so he sort of like peels open like the scales on his chest, and then there's some sort of like magic that happens here. It's like a woo, and then he's sort of like bathed in light.
It's like it's EP very, for like, dragons. Yeah.
Yeah, the prince is like bathed in light and ecstasy, and then he's better, I guess.
Yeah, he gives him like half his heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but this
which
is what
heals him.
This is what I don't understand. I mean, like a human heart is like the size of like two fists, right? Mm-hmm. And like a whale heart, because like a blue whale is like a larger creature, it needs a bigger heart. It's like as big as like a VW car, right?
Yeah.
So like, wouldn't half a dragon heart be, like, 2 feet wide?
He just has like a huge goiter out his side. It's like, this is my other heart. I'm good. I need to carry it around in a sack.
Not if the dragon is a Republican.
Oh.
Okay? All right. Thanks, everybody. That's been Rewatchability for this week. Can we pause for a second and just talk about Dennis Quaid's voice?
Yes. This is what I wanted. His accent and his, like, he tries to be all grovelly. And this is why I'm a knight now.
I'm a knight.
Well, he doesn't do an accent. Like, no. he's going full Kevin Costner in Robin Hood. And he's decided not to do an accent, but he's got this weird kind of, like, self-conscious
like
thing.
Waits impression.
Yeah, it's almost... I don't know, like, it felt so, like, self-conscious. Like, it felt like, I don't know if you guys have gone to England, but I feel like when I go to England, like, I'm not going to start talking in a English accent, but I have that, like, self-conscious thing where it's like, now I'm not going to talk in an English accent, but does my voice sound normal? Like, I'm just going to keep talking. Like, it felt like everything he said, he wasn't sure if he should be saying it that way. And it kind of came out sounding a little like Beetlejuice in the end.
It's just kind of like this. Yeah. All right, let's go.
I'll protect the kid. Okay, hey, dragon.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a strange choice for sure.
It was just confusing. It felt kind of like a sketch of itself. Like, it was already parroting itself before it became big.
Yeah.
Weird.
But so the prince is better, but, you know, not 5 minutes after he promised to not be a dick anymore, he is being a dick. He's, like, ready to gouge out eyes. Which is not a very cool thing to do if you're the king.
I love how they're like, we promise he won't be bad. Like, you can't make that promise. And like, look at him.
It's literally, it's 10 seconds later in the movie. He's just like, that dragon heart has renewed my thirst for eye gouging.
The weirdest part about this whole thing is that Bowen, who, I don't know how smart this guy is, he's like, oh, this kid that is copying what his dad did and is becoming worse because he was raised by his dad, must have turned evil from the heart that the dragon gave him. It's such like a huge leap in logic. I'm like, how do you think the dragon was like, promise he won't be a dick. And he's like, I think the dragon made him a dick. He's like, obviously the dragon.
They didn't have so much of the science back then. Whenever something bad happened or someone got sick, they were like, there's a devil in me.
Get the leeches.
There was a scene where where Dennis Quaid takes him to like the peasant uprising and is like, see, this is like really bad. Like, bloodshed is bad. It's wrong to kill these peasants. And like, Aiden says something to the effect of like, I kind of like all these peasants getting killed. Like, he's into it.
He gives him no reason to suspect that he wouldn't be a tyrant.
Yeah. And then he blames the dragon. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I love his rage out moment where he goes to the cave, and it's sort of like all the anger that Kevin Bacon has when he does like the angry dancing in Footloose, but he's just like, right. You lied to me, dragon! Yeah. But then a whole bunch of time passes, and so Bowen has sort of continued his life as a wandering dragon slayer, slaying dragons for bags of gold. And we see him slaying this dragon for a bag of gold, which the village doesn't give him. And he's also sort of hanging out with Pete Postlethwaite. He's in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Say that again?
Postlethwaite.
Okay, perfect.
We got it that time. Yeah.
And he kills this dragon, and then he goes on to fight the other one, which is the Sean Connery dragon. And he tells him that he's the last dragon. And so that's a big thing. And they fight for like a long time.
Wait. In this movie, because I remember like Sean Connery being like, I am the last one. But I don't think that ever – he never says that full line. He just goes, I'm the last of the dragons. Like, you've killed every...
No, he does.
Yeah, he says it.
Okay.
Because Dennis Quaid says something like, I'm going to kill every last one of you or something. And he says, I am the last one. Yeah. That was definitely my gateway. I'd never done a Sean Connery impression as a kid until that trailer played relentlessly.
I am the last one.
And then every kid in my school was like, I am the last one.
I also was an early proponent of, we called the dog Indy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
right.
A good line.
Yeah.
It's a swell lie.
And octopushy.
I think around this time was also when I had this theory that I think Dragonheart killed that every Pete Postlethwaite movie was good.
Right.
Because it seemed like every movie he was popping up in, like every big movie,
R&J?
Like he was in The Usual Suspects, he was in Romeo and Juliet, and then I think this killed it. But he's great.
He had a good two-movie run.
I love him.
Two-movie run. It was good.
Oh, and the same year he was in The Lost World.
Yes.
Was that a good movie?
I mean, I liked it at the time. Yeah, so then what happened?
So they're, like, fighting for a very, very long time. It comes to a stalemate, and Bowen is in the dragon's mouth with his sword at the roof, and he's going to stab upwards into his brain, and then the dragon's going to chomp down and kill him. It's a stalemate. They go through the night, and then eventually the dragon's like, okay, I have a better idea.
But I can go 3 days without sleep.
I can go 3 weeks.
Ugh, I'll stab you before I nut off.
And I'll chomp you. My wish, we'll kill each other.
What do you suggest?
A truce. Get out of my mouth and let's talk face to face.
How do I know I can trust you?
I give you my word.
The word of a dragon. It's worthless.
And the next thing that we see is they have sort of partnered up. And they are grifting the local rubes.
See, I don't remember this at all. See, like, this is such a great... But this is what I love about this movie, is that they, like, team up to, like... He fake kills the dragon to rid it after it, like, blows some fire into the town. So the locals pay him off to kill the dragon. And he doesn't kill the dragon. They get away and they share the gold. And that's... I would watch a whole TV series of just that. That's great. That's perfect. Yeah. That's such a good pitch for a movie.
Well, that was the pitch. Like, I don't know if you guys read up about this, but that was like the germ of the idea. Was the screenwriter was like, let's do like a Western, like where, you know, where like two con artists go from town to town, but with a dragon.
It's
and
such
a knife.
Genius idea. And I love it.
I love it too. And I love the scenes where, you know, the 20 minutes of this movie where that happens.
Yeah.
But
so little of the movie.
I don't understand why that wasn't the movie. Oh, like, God. Okay. Here's what the movie should, in my mind, what the movie should have been. And I don't feel bad saying this because from what I've read, like the movie kind of went through a bunch of different hands and got a little distorted from the original vision.
Oh, you can easily tell that.
But I don't understand why. Get rid of all the sort of background stuff with Dennis Quaid and the kid and all that. Have the movie start with a dragon attacking a town and a knight coming in. And the knight saves the day and kills the dragon. And then reveal to the audience that the dragon and the knight are friends. And it was a con. Like, it's a scene we've seen in a million movies, but, like, have it be with a dragon and a knight.
We
That's
would
great.
Never suspect.
And then have them go from town to town. Yeah. And then just have it be, like, the knight feels, you know, he's the Han Solo. Like, he's the the bad boy that doesn't want to stop taking advantage of peasants, but he could be better. And then have the king, like, kidnap the dragon because he has life-saving powers or something like that. And then have the knight be like, I am better than this. I am going to be, like, a knight again and save the dragon. Like, it's such a simple story that's needlessly complicated by a lot of nonsense.
And you can tell that, like, it finally finds its feet when they start, like, grifting these towns together. It becomes funny. It becomes fun. The whole, like, movie starts flowing. And the scenes at the beginning with the kid, you're just like, it's kind of boring. And it seems, like, ham-fisted and shoved in there. And it's the start of the movie. Like, it was just so unfortunate that it even looked like the director didn't care about those scenes. Like, the camera was kind of like half on people. I don't know. It just like, it didn't feel right. But then when they started grifting the towns and the music came in, by the way, the music is maybe the best part of this entire movie. Like that, those soaring notes, and like I remembered the notes that were coming up. Like I remembered the song.
Well, that's probably because that music was used in every trailer for every movie in the 90s after this movie.
Yeah, yeah.
I was looking it up to see if there were specifics, if people had kind of cataloged it, and I couldn't find it. But for sure, this score was used in a bunch of trailers.
Yeah, because it's so good. It fills you with such like wonder and the feeling of adventure and everything that like a dragon and a knight grifting townies would, that feeling that would give you. But it doesn't, it feels like it's just so much better than like the trash that was filled in through the parts that they took out of this movie, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know like how quickly they could do this, but it did, like the movie on its face feels like, it was in development before Jurassic Park, but it feels like coming 3 years after Jurassic Park and 1 year after Braveheart, it feels like someone said, let's do Braveheart and Jurassic Park as one movie. And those scenes, I can't help but wonder if like they had a more streamlined version and were like, well, Braveheart's a thing. Like, let's have it be more of like about this king and this guy and
rebellion and
yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But have all the fighting scenes be way less interesting. All those fighting scenes looked like a bunch of extras like running to hug each other. It just looked like a fight, a medieval fight at all.
Well, I mean, they barely pay any sort of attention to that sort of plot. Like, a whole bunch of stuff just sort of gets glossed over in the plot. Like, they meet up with that girl who was almost sexually assaulted by the prince. Mm-hmm. But then she managed to escape. And she's going to reveal them to the townspeople, their grift. So they end up, like, running away. And then they, for some reason, I can't quite remember, fly to Avalon, which is King Arthur's resting place. And that's where he has his big Dark Night of the Soul sort of moment. And he recites the Knight's Code. And they decide that, yes, they're going to go do this rebellion and fight King Aenon and all of that stuff.
A knight is sworn to valor.
A knight is sworn to valor.
His heart knows only virtue.
His heart knows only virtue.
His blade defends the helpless.
His blade defends the helpless.
His might upholds the weak.
His might upholds the weak.
His word speaks only truth.
His word speaks only truth.
His wrath undoes the wicked.
His wrath undoes the wicked.
You know what I liked about that scene, though? I really, because there are some good points in this movie that I don't want to gloss over. And the good point was like the dragon leaves because he's like, Bowen, you said you live by the old code, but you don't. I'm like, fuck you, I'm gone. And he leaves. And then Bowen sees like this glowing statue of King Arthur, and King Arthur starts like reciting the kind of old knight's code, and he recites it back to King Arthur, and then it's revealed that it's just the dragon kind of reciting it to him. And I thought that was like such a beautiful thing that this dragon kind of tricked him into believing again. I liked that.
Mm. I think there was originally a scene where he actually talked to the ghost of King Arthur.
I'm so glad that's not
something. Yeah, it is weird. We didn't talk about like the fact that Bowen still blames the dragon for the king being bad,
right?
And like doesn't realize that. Like, it hasn't been that long, and that dragon had a very specific voice. Like, they cast the guy with the most distinctive voice possible to play the dragon. And he's, like, telling, we should say his name's Draco. Draco the dragon is like, oh, this other dragon. Like, oh, that's the one I really wanted to kill because he was really bad. And not realizing that they're the same.
Yeah.
Even though it's so painfully obvious that they're the same dragon.
Well, it's just so.
It's absurd.
It's so weird because he's like, he must be dead because I've killed every dragon, but you. And he's like, yeah, it must be. And like, there's no follow-up to that. Like, it's him.
He acts like crazy.
It doesn't occur to him. And this is where it kind of like becomes a very kid movie. Because I don't remember it being a kid movie. Like, I feel like it wanted to be something that was a little more risque than that. But like the dragon twiddling his thumbs and like rolling his eyes, being like, I don't know who the dragon. Like, that literally happens in this
movie.
There's
a bunch of kids movie stuff.
Yeah.
Like, there's lines like, everyone's a critic.
Yeah.
And there's a scene where Dennis Quaid gets hit in the balls with the rope.
Yeah.
It's the first scene where he's fighting the dragon. Like, they didn't get like 4 minutes into a dragon fight where before they ran out of ideas and were like, we better have him get hit in the balls. There's nowhere else I can think of taking this.
Yeah.
And that also, that scene, that was another thing I remember from when I first saw it, was that scene where the dragon's flying and he's holding onto the rope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is attached to Draco. And I just remember this, like, even though the special effects, like the rendering of the CG dragon is so amazing, that like disconnect between like the animated dragon flying overhead and Dennis Quaid just, you know, holding this rope like he's in gym class, yeah, on what's clearly like a crane on a pickup truck, pulling him through the forest. Like, it just felt so phony, despite the fact that it shouldn't have, because it cost a lot of money. And it did look good when you saw the dragon. It's just so weird that they managed to like kind of like have all of these really cool elements in place and then, in my opinion, fumbled them.
Yeah, they were all half-baked. You know, like, it was like, yeah, it's cool that he's holding onto this dragon, but it will keep him at a constant level from the ground on these hills, over these hills and stuff.
Right, yeah. Like,
but think it through. Like, think it through a little bit, and you'll have something really special and beautiful on your hands. But it definitely felt... Everything felt a little rushed.
It goes for good enough.
Yeah, good enough. Let's move on.
Yeah. Well, there was supposed to be a scene, like, it writes itself. Like, there should be a scene where he rides the dragon at some point.
That's what I thought you'd do.
Right.
It never happened because it cost too much money, or they didn't have time or something.
Mm. Yeah.
It's too bad.
So then what happens?
Okay, I mean, a bunch
of... They kidnap the dragon, right?
Well, yeah, so when the battle happens, Pete Postlethwaite shoots Einan with an arrow, and this is where they sort of realize that the dragon and Einan are sort of connected, like Elliot and E.T.
Mm-hmm.
So the dragon sort of falls, and they capture it, and he's hired these 5 dragon slayers to kill the dragon, but as soon as Einan realizes that, he sort of rushes over and just sort of holds him hostage, and he's going to keep him for all eternity, right?
Right, because Einan can't die if the dragon is still alive. Like, in order to kill Einan, you need to kill the dragon. That's what
exactly. But eventually Bowen sort of goes in to sort of rescue the dragon, and there's a big fight, and they do the swords thing, and David Thewlis is very like, ah, and he gets knocked down, but is he really dead? Yeah. And so basically what happens is that Bowen has to kill Draco, and in order to stop the prince.
You're the last.
My time is over. Strike!
You're my friend.
Ben is my friend. Strike, please!
I can't.
Then I will make you. Fight back, Dragon Slayer! Defend yourself!
And she dies.
And so Draco like opens up his scales, and you know, he's like revealing his half heart, and Bowen has this big ass battle axe, and then the prince sort of comes at the last minute, and he has the girl hostage, and then Bowen, you know, finally does it. He's like, he kills his friend, mm-hmm, and the prince dies, and that's pretty much the end of the movie, except for Sean Connery made this big deal about like wanting to die but being afraid to die because he sort of fucked up his chance to go to dragon heaven by everything that went wrong with the prince being a dick. So now that he's sort of killed the prince and sort of fixed everything, then he can go to dragon heaven, mm-hmm, which is kind of like the Jellicle ball. But for dragons. And that's the movie.
That's the movie. Yeah, there's a big fireworks display at the end with the stars. It's,
yeah.
Oh, and does Bowen like live happily ever after with the only girl in this? Is that she kind of just got brought along on the ride?
I don't think it was established.
We haven't talked much about Dina Meyer, who
poor actress in this movie. She's just like everything else in this movie, she's a total afterthought. Like,
yeah. Like there's no... I think there's supposed to be a romance, but maybe not. I don't even know. Yeah.
Well, and they're also trying to, like, at least sort of suggest that she's a sort of, like, badass badass Maid Marian type that we got in all like the 90s mm-hmm. sort of sword and sandal movies. Not sandals, but whatever they wore in the medieval times. But yeah, then they don't do anything with it.
No.
They just sort of like, you know, she
they
goes away.
They kind of teed it up like they were going to, where they're all kind of training to go in battle. But then they still have like Dennis Quaid come over and like mansplain how to like throw an axe.
Yeah.
It's pretty it's bad. Just,
yeah. And all made worse by the fact that he just sounds like a lunatic. He sounds like a guy doing an impression of like Batman.
Oh man, yeah, it's not a good impression. It's not, and she is not. She is an impression of a female character. It doesn't feel like there. She is, I guess, she's like under threat at times. And that's kind of the only reason she's in this movie. And she's not even under threat, like, even in the end. Does he, like, take her hostage or anything? I don't know. It just feels...
He does. Well, I mean, he does at the end.
He does.
I don't know.
It doesn't even matter, though. Because, like, what...
Whatever... And his motivations are completely non-existent. Like, he's just this kind of evil guy for no reason. Like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Julie Christie plays his mother. She's completely wasted.
She is completely wasted.
You know, legendary actress. That was the one silver lining of Away From Her. I was like, at least now she won't remember Dragonheart anymore. All right, we're going to be right back. We'll talk more about Dragonheart. We'll have trivia after this.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, we're back. We're talking about Dragonheart. It's the 1996 Sean Connery, Dennis Quaid dragon movie. And I've got some trivia questions for you guys. You guys ready for these?
Are these about dragons?
They're mostly about...
What's my favorite dragon? Yeah. What?
Do you guys have a favorite dragon, like, story or movie?
Other than Puff the Magic Dragon? Which apparently is not about marijuana.
Uh-oh.
Now it's not my favorite.
Okay, I got some trivia questions for you guys. So there are 4 sequels to this movie. Mm-hmm. Did you know that?
What?
Yeah. I saw that on IMDb. It's insane.
Because I was searching to see like what streaming services it was on, and like I put in Dragonheart, and a 2020 movie came up first. And I was like,
yeah.
"What?
Yeah, one just came out this
year.
It's insane.
This year.
What was it called? Do you know?
The one that came out this year was called Dragonheart: A New Beginning.
I hope not. I hope it just stays dead.
Yeah, like they're 5 movies in and they're still finding new beginnings. And I think Helena Bonham Carter is in it.
I also saw that in some of them, like Patrick Stewart's in one. And
well, that was one of my questions, Rob.
Oh, shit, I'm sorry.
Okay, that's all right.
Patrick Stewart.
Okay, so let me go through the movies quickly. Dragonheart, A New Beginning is the second one. Came out in 2000. Then after that movie, they took a 15-year break.
Oh,
and then in 2015 came Dragonheart 3, The Sorcerer's Curse.
Ooh.
Dragonheart Battle for the Heartfire. And then Vengeance came out this year. And I think it goes without saying all of these were straight to video. These did not come out
theatrically.
The equivalent
is? Straight to Quibbly?
straight to Quibi.
Catch Dragonheart Heartburn coming out this fast. God damn it.
All the dragons are now getting coffee with Jerry Seinfeld in a vintage automobile. Okay, so Sean Connery is a legit knight, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Sir Sean Connery.
You mentioned Patrick Stewart's in one, so that kind of blows it. But I was going to say, name the 2 other knights who do dragon voices in the franchise. So one was Patrick Stewart, but there's one other knight who does a voice.
Anthony Hopkins?
It is Kingsley.
Oh. I said Kingsley. You didn't hear me, though, I guess? It's okay.
Yeah, no, I did. Yeah, I was pointing to you. Okay. You can't tell because I was pointing at the laptop. Yeah, Sir Ben Kingsley is a voice in one of them.
Oh, nice.
Wow. What a pedigree.
And then my next question is, which Star Trek The Next Generation actor did the studio originally want for the voice of Draco in this movie?
Ooh. Ooh.
Which Star Trek The Next Generation actor?
Wait, are they like a mainstay of the main cast?
Mostly. Mostly. Kind of. It's not Patrick Stewart. I'll tell you that. I was hoping you would fall into that trap and say Patrick Stewart, but it's not him.
Patrick Stewart.
Yes. He got you.
No.
Got him.
No, it's not Patrick Stewart, but it's not a regular cast member, but it's a returning cast member, someone who's in multiple episodes.
Hmm.
And there are no prizes.
John DeLancey.
That's a good guess.
Yeah, I would have guessed Q too.
Oh, no, the studio wanted Whoopi Goldberg.
Whoa!
Really?
Yes!
Whoopi really? Goldberg.
That was my first guess, but I was like, nah, because they'd be sexist in the 90s.
Is she
going to
be a sassy dragon?
No, that's great. Whoopi would have been good, I feel.
And they were going to originally have two dragons, and the other one was going to be voiced by Meghan McCain, and the two dragons would just argue for the whole movie.
Just around
and
a hearth
the one
fire.
Dragon would talk about her dad, who was a real hero all the time.
You know, my dad was Draco, right? Draco the dragon. Yeah, yeah, we know.
He was the last one. Hey, this is my question. If Draco was the last one, how are there five movies?
I'm glad you asked that question. In the first sequel, Dragonheart, A New Beginning, I think it's like, they have like a guy playing like an old Dennis Quaid, so they do kind of connect it to that movie, and it's yeah, I think they find and they that's find so an great. Egg in his cave. So Sean Connery birthed an egg off screen at some point in this movie.
Yeah, that's cool.
So his
dragons
egg,
know no gender. That's great.
I'm a mama.
Yeah, exactly. I love it.
It's because dragon DNA was spliced with West African frog DNA, and they can switch sexes and single sex environment. And then the next one, because I think that dragon dies or something, but then in the next one it's like it's like a meteor crashes to Earth.
No.
There's dragon eggs inside the meteor or something.
Oh yeah, that's how they get here. That's
scientifically proven.
Yeah, exactly. The dragon eggs.
NASA's all about dragon eggs.
I love that. I'm making fun of that. They're fucking dragons. They could come from, I don't know. They're made up. I'm like, oh, dragons come from, what are they, aliens? Sure. Why wouldn't they be, Blaine?
You're soiling the integrity of the dragon mythology.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't exactly know, but I kind of skimmed the synopses of most of these, so I'm pretty sure that's what happens. Okay, last question. The director of this movie, Rob Cohen, had another movie come out in 1996, I think because the sort of post-production of this movie took so long that he made another whole movie in the interim. Can you name that movie, the other Rob Cohen movie that came out in theaters back in 96?
Is that like...
Is it Fast and Furious?
No.
Dragon Bruce Lee story?
No, he'd done that earlier. It is interesting, though, that this it's such unimaginative studio thinking where they were like, well, we just worked with this other guy and Dragon was in the title, so we should just hire him.
What was the movie?
It was the movie Daylight with Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, yeah, I like that movie.
Oh, I've never seen I can't even remember that movie at all.
That's the one where they're like stuck in the tunnel.
In the tunnel.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I kind of like that. Yeah, me too. One of the screenwriters of the movie, I guess he just gets a story credit or something in the end, but he was supposed to direct it originally, Patrick Reed Johnson, and he was kind of squeezed out by the studio because he'd only made one movie before. He made that movie Spaced Invaders. Do you remember that?
No. What's that?
Spaced Invaders. I don't even remember. I remember the video cassette cover well, but I don't think I ever saw it. But then he also, he got squeezed out of this, even though he, like, he did a lot of work on it. He was working with the Henson Company developing before they realized they could do it with computers. They were, you know, trying to figure out puppetry and stuff like that. And he was going to do it with Liam Neeson.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah, and the studio didn't think Liam Neeson was would be a good action star. So they didn't want that. And apparently he went and shot some test footage, I guess, with the puppet they created with Clive Owen, who was not a famous actor at the time, to fill in for Liam Neeson.
Nice.
So and that guy, Patrick Reed Johnson, went on to direct Baby's Day Out.
Classic.
And Angus. If you remember that movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So he did some stuff.
Yeah.
He paid for his house. He got a house out of it. It's nice.
Yeah, well, I mean, he did a lot of stuff. He's still alive. He did an episode of Dinosaurs. He directed a movie that came out a few years ago called 77. Yeah, I remember hearing about that. It was about, like, a Star Wars fan film. Cool. Starred the kid from Freaks and Geeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
Sweet.
It was a thing that happened.
Is that the end of your trivia?
That's the end of the trivia.
Okay.
Yeah. Sweet. There, I did look up to see if there were, like, any toys for this.
Oh, right.
And I like looking up the toys. There were toys. They did not look anything like the actors.
Because they were just made from different molds for another movie.
I'm sure,
they were so cheap.
And they had, like, other dragons also, despite the fact that this movie was very clearly sold on the idea of him being the last dragon. There were
they
other
were
dragon toys.
Dragon carcasses that you could buy.
But I couldn't find any commercials or anything because I don't think anyone cared. I mean, this movie was a hit, but it was, like, a modest hit.
I would have loved to see a commercial where the kid was like, "I'm Bowen," like trying to do the voice.
I'm
Bowen.
No,
like, I'm Bowen. Yeah. I just went through puberty. I'm Bowen.
Yeah, and I guess this movie does have, like, a fan base because there's, like we said, the whole straight to video sequel thing, like, kept going. And I did, like, just from Googling this movie, I found one guy had a petition asking Universal to remake the movie using that guy's, like, original script, like, his original vision for the movie.
I'm with him. I want it. That'd be great.
You know, at first I rolled my eyes because, you know, it's the whole, like, remake Star Wars, remake Game of Thrones thing. But then it was like, you know, they're making, like, five of these goddamn things anyway. Like, throw this guy a bone and make one of these straight-to-video movies a new version of the first story. Why not?
Yeah.
No one's going to see it.
Call it, like, Dragonheart Reborn or something. Well, Dragon you laugh,
heart.
But
have a heart. Yeah.
At the rate we're at, Dragonheart Vengeance may be a top contender at the Oscars.
Oh, man.
We'll all remember where we were when they accidentally read Sonic the Hedgehog, but it was actually Dragonheart Vengeance that won the Oscar. Well, what do you guys... We didn't love it going in. Sounds like we didn't love it coming out of this watch. What about you, Rob? Did you think it was rewatchable?
No, not really. There's a bunch of stuff that just feels really lazy. And I found myself checking out. And, you know, also, like, while I was doing research, I found out that the director, Rob Cohen, was Me Too'd.
Oh, really?
Last year. Yeah, and, like, it's pretty bad stuff. Yeah. So after I read about that, I basically couldn't pay attention to the movie anymore. And, you know, I wasn't really enjoying it anyway. There was parts of it that I thought were okay, but it's a pretty good idea that was sort of, like, dumbed down for kids. So it doesn't really do anything anymore for me. Like, I saw the elements and recognized them from better movies like Star Wars. Like, so much of Bowen is basically Han Solo meets Obi-Wan Kenobi. Yeah, I just really felt like, you know, I could just not watch this movie again.
Yeah, fair enough, Rob. I'm kind of with you on that. I do want to see the original script. Like, I want to read that. I think that's such a genius idea of a knight and a dragon grifting people, Old West style, and the studio just coming in messing that up kind of irks me, because then we got fucking Dragonheart, where all the pieces don't come together. It's so bad with its female characters. They're hardly an afterthought. And the CG just doesn't stand up. The dragon around the campfire. It just doesn't.
Yeah, it looks like a PlayStation 2 cutscene.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. and you have these other movies, like you mentioned, JM, like Jurassic Park and T2 coming out before this, where they did better fire effects on like a metal man than like this. And so maybe that's easier. I don't know from effects, but
I think this was the first CG letdown. Like, we were right. So like built up with Terminator and then Jurassic Park. And then this should have been like the next level. Everything should have gotten better and better, but it didn't.
I think it was pretty good. I think it still looks pretty good. I would say the problems with this movie were not the special effects.
No, but sometimes you watch special effects from like a 90s movie and you're like, yeah, that's 90s special effects. And sometimes you watch it and you're like, wow, they put a lot of energy and time and money into that, and it looks really good. Like, it transcends the age in which it was born, and this does not. This is very much a time capsule of when it was when it was made. In a lot of ways, it sounds like. So I am not probably going to watch this again. I love this movie for giving us the line, "I am the last one." But that's kind of where it stops for me.
But doesn't Daniel Day-Lewis also say that in Last of the Mohicans?
I mean, I was trying to think of if like Sean Connery said that in Highlander at all, because...
Oh, yeah. Well, he wasn't the last Highlander.
No, he wasn't. Anyway, that's all I got to say about that movie. There's some good stuff in it. I just wish it was more of the good stuff. What about you, JM?
I hated this movie before. I really disliked it now.
Oh, you moved up.
Yeah.
Well, I think I did in the sense that, like, what we were talking about with that kind of core premise of, like, this buddy picture between a knight and a dragon, like, going from town to town and conning people, I actually really like. So I am going to say it's not rewatchable, but let's support this random dude's petition. I looked it up. It's on thepetitionsite.com. Mm. And he says, Universal Pictures, # remake Dragonheart with Patrick Reed Johnson as director. That's the guy who was forced out. He has 67 supporters. His goal is only 100.
70 now.
Yeah, exactly. So if we get 30 more people to help us out here, we can, because I looked up that Rob Cohen guy after you talked about that. Yeah, that's fucked up. That guy's a piece of shit.
He's a fucker.
Like, I don't want to get into the details of the allegations because they're awful, but also he hired Bill Cosby's lawyer, which is never a great sign.
If you're a suspect, don't make yourself more suspect. Like, what? That's a stupid.
Who's representing Harvey Weinstein?
Well, also, his lawyer, the
get
Bill
me Trump's Cos- lawyers.
Bill Cosby's lawyer, I guess, has the last name Singer. So I was just skimming it, and it says, like, says Singer. And it's like, is Brian Singer his lawyer?
Because somehow
that's
involved
bad
in this.
Too.
From the firm of Spacey, Singer, and Weinstein.
Gotta change the name
just
of our
don't
firm.
Go to their
getting
offices.
Killed.
Yeah. God damn.
Yeah, I say make one of these straight to video movies, that guy's original script. I think that'd be good. I think there is a good movie in here, but
you know
this
how,
is not
they're,
it.
They're doing a bunch of those readings, right? Like of like other scripts, like that alternate Star Wars script. Do an alternate.
You think we
writing.
Can get Sean Connery in for a reading?
No, fuck it. Liam Neeson and Whoopi. That's
yep.
who we need.
Oh man, they do it. They do it because they care.
Let's get a petition going. I'm just saying. No, it's bad. And also, the moment where I was like, where I really realized this movie was bad, we didn't talk about, is in the flashback at the beginning. You know, it flashes forward to the present, but it's like 3 years later. So all the actors are just played by like, it's 12 years, but the actors are like 3 years older than the other actors. So they just have the same hair. Like,
yeah.
The actress who plays Dina Meyer is probably around the same age, but they just both have red hair, and David Thewlis has this goofy haircut, this kind of Prince Valiant haircut, so he's supposed to be the same guy, even though they don't have the same face at all. It's bad. It's a bad movie. Make this thing. Make that the next straight to video thing. We fixed it.
I mean, everything is straight to video right now.
Yeah. So. Or like we said, do a Zoom thing with Liam Neeson and Whoopi Goldberg. And who would you cast in the other parts? Who would you cast as? Well, it says here he originally wanted Kenneth Branagh as Einan, and Elizabeth Hurley.
He's a good villain too.
As the Kara.
Liz Hurley.
Yeah.
I don't mind that casting. I would do that casting now. That's great.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Hurley?
What? I don't know. I haven't seen her in a long while. I want to see her. I want to see how she's doing.
Yeah.
How you doing,
Liz? Make it happen. Well, thank you so much for listening. As always, you can find us on Twitter at Rewatchability, Facebook.com/Rewatchability. You can like and subscribe us on whatever podcast app you're listening to on, and Patreon, patreon.com/rewatchability. We're going to be doing that commentary soon, so look out for that.
This isn't the last one.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.